one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh.
Well, you know, I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead End Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide, Dead End Sports. Ken will be joining us later, but I'm your host for right now, Nikki Duce, a.k.a. Mr. No Disrespect, with my two... Well, we gladiators. We always battle it out. We got,
man. Me and B just be right.
That's all that is.
We be right.
FIFO 24/7.
Thank you for
BZ 430. We in the building. So right now we looking at Magic Johnson, aka the Snake himself, Stephen
Magic
A.
Is the Snake?
Michael Wilbon and Doc Rivers talking about Kawhi and how Doc Rivers already said that Kawhi probably is the most Jordan-like player we have right now playing in the NBA. He could be the prisoner of the moment.
I gotta be Jordan-like. Why I just can't be Kawhi? Like,
because we kind of seen a version of this before. Not saying that he was Kobe and trying to steal all his moves and his swagger, the way he talked. Kawhi just being Kawhi.
Yeah, he just balling, man.
Kawhi being Kawhi reminds you of Jordan because of where he dominates from. You know what I'm saying? He still has an impeccable mid-range, and he'll go to it. He uses it. He beat, you know, Philly. It wasn't technically a mid-range, but it wasn't a three.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And we see the fadeaways. We see the elbow game. We see, you know, the defense with the claw. You know what I'm saying? Getting the ball, you know, giving go fast break, finish with a yam.
The it's blocks.
Very Jordan-esque. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jordan, I think, was more graceful. Jordan, you know, he was more smooth with, you know, I'm jump, I'm a hand, I'll put the tongue out, you know, crazy English off the backboard. Kawhi don't got that, but where he attacks, how he attacks, the between the leg crossover, you know what I'm saying, the very simplistic, basic move, but very highly efficient, it's reminiscent of Jordan.
So, well, before we get, because this is going to be a basketball episode pretty much, obviously.
Of course.
So before we get into the finals matchup between Toronto and Golden State, there was a report that came out, what is it, yesterday on Monday? Or Monday this
Monday,
week,
yeah.
Earlier this week.
Yeah.
Braxton Holmes, ESPN writer, basically he spilled not even the tea, the kettle on the whole Lakers situation as far as this past season.
Mm-hmm.
From the time that they signed LeBron James to all the craziness you're seeing now on SportsCenter every other day, pretty much. What was y'all, did y'all read the article or you skimmed through it?
I skimmed through it. I'm saying it doesn't surprise me. Think about how
what was there were some surprising things for me in there.
Like what?
The biggest thing that I saw in there was the fact that everybody, like, it seemed like everybody had access.
Yeah.
Like, random niggas had access. Like, they broke it down to where, like, there was this three people from the Cavs that was on LeBron's payroll.
Mm-hmm.
Randomly showed up on the Lakers' payroll with, like, big titles, like executive operations. Or it was, like, titles that you would think are just Lakers staffers. But they were like, oh, no, these are LeBron's people. And then the whole Rich Paul situation as far as how he went to Adam Silver. Like, was it LeBron who had a dinner with him and stuff like that with Adam Silver?
With Adam Silver?
Yeah, it was somebody.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, LeBron and Rich Paul was there. Rich Paul went up there and said, like, we don't like Luke Walton. What are you doing? We want Ty Lue in there. And I don't know why he talked to Adam Silver that way, because it's like he's not control of that. But it was like that part was happening. Then you heard all the stuff about Magic.
Okay, I didn't go this far.
Yeah, Magic, they said the staffers was like, and this is the report that was shelved a while back. Remember I was telling you about there was a report that ESPN was doing that was going to blow up this whole situation, like expose what was going on behind the scenes. And they, I think at the time, Magic deaded it. But since he left, it was like, all right, it's free range. Mm-hmm. So now you hear the staffers talking about, like, yeah, Magic looks like a nice guy on TV and all that. But behind closed door, this nigga's ruthless. Like, he was cussing out everybody. Like, he set the tone as far as creating an uncomfortable work environment. He made one staff member cry, like one of the female staff members cry. Like, it was to that level. Then you hear Rob Pelinka, obviously, you know, going behind the back, you know, saying things about Magic and whatnot. It's just shit show, pretty much. Wow. That's what the whole report was. It was like, it's a shit show going on in Lakerland. And this is before LeBron got here. It was a shit show, too.
Of course, of course.
So that's why, again, that made me reassurance. Like, okay, this is the reason why I'm taking back what I said about LeBron this past season, because he just walked into a trap house, pretty much.
A messed up situation.
Exactly.
It's crazy. It's crazier that it's crazy than crazier than Cleveland.
Exactly. You think now David Griffin looks like a fucking shaman compared to what Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson made him go through. And even it went down to the staffers, even the Lakers staff even questioned the fact that why the hell are we surrounding LeBron with Rajon Rondo, Lance Stevenson? Not only are these people not shooters, but these are like the most out of character players you could get for a team. So it was just and it's more than that. Like, please, I recommend everybody read that article. Like, it's a lot to it. It made me realize that's why I said Magic is lightweight a snake, because he seems like he's two faced. Like, that whole Laker brand shit. It, like, how much does it hold weight now? But when you hear about the Laker guy creating that type of environment, Rob Pelinka getting in because he knows Kobe, and now you see how, and he was a snake before he got in there from the, as far as league wise,
right?
And now you hearing
telling fake ass stories,
fake ass stories about a dead act. Heath Ledger was 6 months in the grave, and he talking about Kobe Bryant not only saw the movie 6 months before it came out, but he also met with him and had lunch to get into the mindset to play the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. That is, again, that's what I was saying a year ago this time. I was like, bro, what is this? Is all about a showcase for free agents to come to L.A. And now you hearing all this, you reading all this shit, seeing it on TV.
What make you want to come? If you're a free agent, what makes you want to come there?
Outside of LeBron,
that seems more dysfunctional than the Knicks.
And with LeBron, like, the situation he's in, he's on his. Like, this is his swan song years. Like, he's supposed to be like, I'm trying to make one impactful, lasting showcase of my talent and my abilities, and then I'm out. But I got to deal with all this bullshit first. He got to clean up the Lakers shit before he even get his own shit right.
If anybody can do it, it's going to be LeBron.
All right, cool.
But let's be honest. We've seen him deal with this.
He ain't Jesus.
He's basketball Jesus. He's basketball God. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Come on, Nick. He's been the best basketball player in the NBA since early 2000s, bro. Since the early 2000s.
And that's fine.
We talking almost a decade and a half, dog. Like, he is the basketball savant of this era. And if anybody can do all I say, I'm not saying he's going to do it. He's going to win titles, you know what I'm saying, by himself with all this dysfunction and dismay. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is if you had to pick one player in the NBA to deal with this shit show, and still produce on the basketball court, and not only for himself, but to elevate that squad, who would you pick, Nick?
I agree with that.
That's all I said.
But with,
so
with all the
evidence, was very disrespectful.
No, I'm not saying that as far as disrespect to LeBron. I'm just saying as a human to go through all, like, Matt Barnes was on what is that show that y'all don't like, Speak for Yourself, and he was talking about his, like, my son and LeBron's son, they in the same age range, so they go to the same basketball activities. And when I saw LeBron not too long ago, I shook his hand and I dapped him up and said, like, you ain't expect LA to be this hard. And he said LeBron showed that shock of like, damn, you right, like, it was way worse. It's a lot harder than what I thought it was gonna be. That type of toll on a player who's going in his 17th year or 18th year, whatever, however long, damn near 20 seasons in, and he's still one of the best players in the world, if not the best. But that, you don't want it, like, tired. He's tired. You can tell he's tired.
Easier now.
Exactly.
It ain't supposed to be harder.
It ain't supposed to be harder. You're talking about the Cavs. We thought that was the worst we could ever see it.
Yeah, nah, it's even worse.
It got a lot. And this is with the Laker brand.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
B, tell me something. Like, am I bugging?
No. This is amazing, because I think before the owner that passed away,
Jim Buss.
Jim Buss, before he passed away, and from 2013 to 1948, the Lakers had only missed the playoffs 5 times in that entire history of the franchise. And it's amazing, since 2013, they have not sniffed the playoffs since then. So this might be, I'm almost willing to say this might be blasphemy, but I think LeBron need to get out of there.
Remember in the summer where we was
he need to get out of there.
It was between LA and Philly.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, he should go to Philly. It's an easier thing through.
I was just saying go to Philly.
Yeah. And I was like, bro, Philly is so much easier. There. But then I could see why he went to LA, because he had all the movie shit. He think about life after basketball. He probably think like, look, the Lakers, every time they get a top free agent.
Play AU out there in California.
Anytime the Lakers get a top free agent, usually a championship is somewhere
down
the line.
Right.
But now it's just
I think he need to get out of there.
He got no trade clause. Like, he didn't get a no trade clause with his new contract, so they could ship him out anywhere without him getting a peep. I mean
I'm pretty sure his team would kind of, if he was to leave LA, I'm pretty sure they would make sure he'd be in the.
Will they?
Well, here's the
with
thing.
The team
who's looking out for him in the organization. That's what I'm saying.
He is.
But first of all, Rich Paul controls a lot of that.
That's what I'm saying.
That's number one.
He'll make sure he's straight.
Dictate, nah, that my that agent or that player, my client, this client, he ain't going nowhere.
That goes to your point in the report that that ESPN article. When the Lakers signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he was dealing with some jail, like he was a DUI that he was supposed to be in jail for, I think, almost a month. But the Lakers worked it out. They let him play in the games in California, but he couldn't go out the state because it was like a work type of deal for the jail thing. Mm-hmm. So they allowed him to do that, which most teams would have just suspended the player until, you know, it was over with. But because he was with Clutch Sports and they wanted to get LeBron that next summer.
Power, yeah.
That's
power.
Crazy.
Let me see, I think if he needs to get out of there. Yeah.
That's all that is.
He needs to get out of there. And if he can get out of there.
Where can he go, though?
Oh, shit. There's a lot of
I mean, like, because it would have to be a trade like that assets.
So exactly. So a team has to have assets. So obviously the first team you look at is Denver. They have the most
They have the young talent. They got access.
You can
keep
Joker and maybe Jamal Murray and give up the Gary Harris's and Michael Porter.
Michael Porter,
you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of guys that they can give up and still have a big three.
Yep.
So Denver, you have to consider.
And just think, they was a number two seed without LeBron. So you put LeBron in that mix.
If Portland wants to go all in, everybody but CJ and Dame.
You can have
three first round draft picks. You can have
whatever you want. What's my name? Aminio, what's the other dude named Heartless?
Yeah, more Heartless.
Yeah.
The big guy Nurkic.
Yeah. Like,
you can have the two young big white boys, both of them. You can have everybody.
They not going. They not giving the scraps for LeBron.
That's not scraps though. That's not scraps.
All those
Nurkic. Nurkic is dope.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus first round picks. Yeah. Nah, bro. Yeah.
But they went to the Western Conference. What's the first round of them? That's like the bottom of the first round.
The Lakers are going to be ass. They already got a fourth pick this year.
Yeah.
They're going to keep their pick.
Plus Portland stuff. Mm. And then you put Portland along with CJ and Dame.
And Bron.
Man.
Bron going to average the most assists ever in his career.
Man.
If he play with them two. With them two.
They just got to sign veteran contracts for the rest of the squad.
No, all three of them can get paid. Oh, yeah. For the rest of the squad.
Yeah.
Of course.
Man.
And one mid-level, you still get a mid-level exception. You could break up the mid-level into two players as long as is both of those contracts equal your mid-level exception. So you can do that.
What about your boy? I know you're gonna be happy with this. Mello. Will they get for some low veteran mineral? Hey, Mello, you wanna come over here with Dame and LeBron?
I follow him IG. He's sending out these captions like he just plotting. He waiting on that right team to get ready. Like, hey, look, I'm trying to sign with y'all real quick. Let me get this chip.
See, Mello about to go into the same situation that happened with Ivo, man. I think Mello just needs to understand that
he does.
He came off the bench for Houston.
But
who else
matter.
Doing that?
But he was coming out there with a starter's mentality.
Yes.
No, he didn't. He came out there. He was humble. Yeah, what did he say?
He has to understand what his role is for a team. Like he has to know I'm not a starter.
What is that? Let's define.
Sixth man of the year.
No. See, like Melo has been a number one option, ball dominant scoring player, right? His entire career, since like middle school, that's what he's been. That's what he knows to do. But where he is in his career, what he has to add is more effort defensively. It's being a better team defender, getting deflections, being a Shane Battier, timely threes. You're not going to take eight threes a game. You might get three or four. You know what I'm saying? You might get just six or seven shots the entire game. Half of them might be threes. So your value has to come in other areas outside of scoring.
What about?
Especially in the mid-range.
Well, you say that, but one of your favorite players is Lou Williams, right?
Who?
As far as like, not favorite players, but one of the players that you respect a lot is Lou Williams. Uh-huh. We all respect Lou Williams, right? He don't play, he's not a defensive specialist. He's a scorer, but he get buckets.
Melo
dropped 28 the last game.
Melo don't get buckets like that.
Melo can get buckets,
not like any
everybody,
right now.
Yeah, I mean, everybody he always facing.
Let me ask you, everybody getting Lou Williams buckets?
He can.
No.
Oh,
He can't. Y'all always get me hot. I'm trying to be the host. I'm trying to keep mediating. Y'all niggas can't be hot.
No, he can't, man. He need to understand his role with Iverson. That's what messed Iverson up. I think he got to understand his role, man. Like, you can't go in there thinking, like, hey, because I'm got all these accolades, I should be this. Like, no.
I didn't say he had to be. I agree with that.
He needs to understand, like, Melo, now, okay? You was a superstar once, but you're not there no more, bro. Like, you got to come in here, and if you want to try to get this championship, you got to contribute this way. You know what I'm saying? That's why Andre Iguodala's career has lasted so long. Mm-hmm. Him, since he's been at Golden State, Andre Iguodala's added, like, an additional maybe 6-7 years to his career.
Yeah,
like, easily.
Yeah.
Easily, just because – you know, Andre Iguodala used to be the man.
He was. He so took
like,
a pay cut.
Yeah. So like
everything.
He under
roll cup
exactly
like everything. All that, so Andre Iguodala understood his role, and that's why his career is last. I think Melo. That's been Melo's problem. I think he hasn't understand like
exactly.
That's where I need to be. Same thing with Iverson. Iverson could have lasted like another 7 more years, like easily, because he was good, but he didn't understand. Like, Iver, you not that guy no more, guy. Like,
you know what? And here's the thing. It's all about. Let me, if I make this move, because I know everybody thinks I'm a shoot because they still think I'm Iverson. Let me make this pass. Let me make the move. Let me make the pass. Let me make the extra pass. Because back in your prime, that pass didn't need the extra pass because it didn't matter who was guarding you. And you was going to get that bucket.
Yeah.
But you not that guy no more. You need to make that extra pass. You need to play more within the offense. Like, to B's point, perfect player. What did Iguodala do even more? What parts of his game did he accentuate? The defense, the loose balls, the diving, the hustle, the leadership, the playmaking. Fuck the scoring. Forget the rebound. What do you need me to do, coach? You mean to lock this guy up? I'll go lock this guy up. You need me to post him up? You need me to initiate the offense? Mm-hmm. You need me to stay in the corner? What you need me to do, coach?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He need to take the David West approach. David West did that.
Yep.
How often did we know? We knew David West was a tough guy, right? His MO was always tough guy. But did we ever know him to be, like, a defensive stalwart? No.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He was good, decent team defender. But when he got with Golden State, what was he doing? He was playing hellified defense. You got to play team defense. You got to play at the level. And we're not saying go shut this guy down. We understand you're Carmelo damn Anthony.
Right.
But you got to play this team defense.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be late on rotations. You got to be in the right place.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Don't take unnecessary gambles. You know what I'm saying? Play smart. And we gonna get you, Sox.
All right, so we know what Melo needs to do. Let's go back to LeBron. Y'all talked about he needs to demand a trade. What do you see? Like, he has 3 years left on his contract. What can LeBron do to either help the Lakers, or what can he do to help himself?
I mean, he's gonna have to be a part of the free agency pitch. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure he will.
Of course.
He has to be. He'd be stupid.
Oh, yeah, he said he already reached out.
He'd be stupid if he's not going to be. When July 1st comes and he's not. Well, even before, a little bit before July 1st, leading up to the fridge.
Just now.
Yeah.
Because they ain't no tamper.
They moved the date up to, I think it's June 30th.
June 30th at 6 p.m.
So you got to, LeBron got to be like, hey.
I want to hear those conversations. Like, what is he telling people, like, like, to convince them to come when they see all this shit?
Well, I
that's hard.
Again, if anybody could do it or has done it, it's been LeBron.
That Space Jam role don't count. That shit ain't added up. That money don't add up. That sad card don't mean shit.
All I'm saying is you just agreed with me previously about 5 minutes ago.
No,
that he did it in Cleveland, right?
But to this degree?
No, I understand that. But LeBron has to sell that next star that me and you forget what's happening up there. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be crazy, but we already got enough power. We can make the moves we want to make. You know what I'm saying? Sign with us, and as long as we stay healthy, we're going to go far.
Right.
We're going to go far. Where else can you know? Like, you know, last year was an aberration. It's an asterisk, right? I never get hurt. I don't plan on getting hurt like that. You know what I'm saying? Let's go out here, and let's go make this deep playoff run. I'm not saying we're going to get a championship, but you know we're going to make it the second round at least, where you've been by yourself.
Right. If you the Lakers, would you try to go after Bradley Beal?
I like the trade, especially if you could do it kind of straight up for Lonzo. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The only player you give up is Lonzo, you get Bradley.
He's a perfect compliment for LeBron.
Perfect.
Well, for me, it needs to be packaged with Kyrie. Like, Kyrie, to me.
They can still sign Kyrie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I will make the trade for Beal if I know Kyrie's coming. And I said this in the chat.
Lonzo, like, and Beal. Yeah, because you're getting up Lonzo.
You're giving up Lonzo. You'll have a point guard. And especially with Kyrie, he already knows how to work with LeBron.
You still keeping Rondo off the bench?
So you know, I would keep Rondo off the bench.
Yeah. So you know what would be crazy? So if the Lakers package up everything else and trade for AD, So if you could have Kyrie, Bradley, LeBron, and AD.
Was that money-wise?
I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, I don't think that's
A lot.
Possible,
that's
a lot of money.
Well, if you give up Lonzo, because you got to give up some assets to get Beal. So, like, what assets left over to get AD?
Well, here's the thing. To get Beal is pretty much Lonzo straight up and probably some future draft picks and stuff like
not
that.
Not the fourth pick.
Not the fourth pick.
Do you keep the fourth pick?
Fourth pick would be for AD. That'd be for the AD trade. So, like, fourth pick, Kuzma, Ingram,
everybody else.
But what if the Knicks offer the Pelicans the third pick? It's a three-player draft.
It is.
The fourth pick don't mean shit.
No, it don't. However, if I'm the Pelicans...
I damn sure ain't doing business. It sounds like they not doing business with the Lakers.
And here's the thing. In all honesty, if I'm the Knicks and let's just say the Kyrie thing doesn't, you know, go through. What does it look like RJ Barrett? Because they would trade that and get AD. I don't know, man.
This free agency going to be crazy.
This might be the most craziest free agency I've seen.
It is going to be the craziest.
Because the draft, I guarantee you
the draft is going to be crazy.
Will the draft tell what free agency will be?
So you think a lot of trades going to be made or something like that?
I think so.
Especially with Atlanta. I think Atlanta's going to make a big move.
Yeah, I think they can move up. I think they might try to move up.
And get who?
You already know who I want them to get. I don't know who they're targeting. But
you want them to get who?
Cam Reddish.
Yeah, they said Cam Reddish can fall to 10.
I know.
Yeah, they're looking at, he can fall at 8.
But they said that in the draft combine, he actually rose his stock.
Really?
I read on The Athletic, they were talking about Cam Reddish, and they were saying, like, yes, the Duke showcase didn't really, you know, put him in the best light. But and then they also talked to him about it. He's like, yeah, I'm a laid back kind of guy. I'm more reserved, so that's why it may look like I'm being lazy on plays. But like, I like to, you know, pick my spots. But in these workouts and all that stuff, like if before you know the draft, you know how every team can call players in, he could show them something. He could rise up to. They say he could rise up to the fourth, if you know as far as the potential.
And that's like that's what the Lakers get.
But obviously they probably would try to move that.
Because you can't have two or three of the same guys. Right. You got Brandon Ingram. Right. LeBron. Like, right. You got Kuzma.
And you're trying to win now. You ain't trying to wait for him to get developed to see what he is.
But that's what I would love for the Hawks to get, because I just feel that that's the void in their lineup. Because what do we always talk about? Look at like Portland. Right, like where do they struggle? That 3-and-D lengthy guy that can go out there athletically compete with the best of them. You know what I'm saying? And hold his own offensively. That's to me what Cam Reddish is. You're talking about 6'7", 6'8" with 7-foot wingspan. You know what I'm saying? Silky smooth jumper, underrated athletically. Can get to the rack if he wants to. And super smooth. Like that laid backness. It showed like T-Mac was like that. You know what I'm saying? But once he got into the league, he can get better.
Yeah.
Once he figured it out, like physically and everything, he unleashed. I think Cam Reddish has that type of potential.
Remember, we said there's no comparison to CJ, like NBA-wise. Mm-hmm. But could you see Cam Reddish being like a CJ McCollum in a way as far as how he plays?
Nah, I see more so. I think he's more in the mold of KD. You know what I'm saying? I think the Bradley Beal – between Bradley and KD, right? Because KD, the main difference is he's freaking freakishly athletic and long. Bradley is more compact, but I think that Cam is kind of in between. So I think he'll have pull-up game, pull-up three, step-back three. Smooth can get to the basket, finish with either hand long. You know, finish alley-oops, could finish above the rim. But the most important thing, he can space. He can shoot the deep three. And I think if you pair him with Trae Young that already has 35, 40-foot range, you put pair him with Huter, and you put him on there with John Collins that can run the floor, get rebounds, and initiate offense, nice. Finish off.
The future's looking bright for them if they can get Cam Reddish.
All they need is a big man that can set picks and rim run. At that point, like, you have a real squad. You have a real squad. So that's what I would like Atlanta to do. They have 8-10, so they, you know, maybe a team might want to move up or move down, you know what I'm saying, get two picks like that. I don't know. But I definitely think that if AD gets moved, it'll be during the draft. I don't think he gets moved after that.
Yeah, at that point, he would just might as well wait. It's like he's a free agent in the summer, so it's like, why trade all this stuff?
Exactly, because I think it's better to – because you're still – if you get rid of AD, they still own their own pick next year, right? With Zion, like I said, I don't think Zion is the only guy that or Zion by himself can't, he's not LeBron. He can't, even though his game is very LeBron-esque in a sense that he elevates other people around him, he makes the game easier because he can grab the rebound, initiate offense, and do all that type of stuff. I think there's going to be a learning curve for him, and I just don't think he could do it by himself. So if they're projecting to be bad, make the trade, pair him with RJ Barrett, get another top draft pick next year, and rebuild that way. If I'm the Pelicans. So that's what I'm saying. If AD is going to move, I think it's going to be during the draft. Because after the fact, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
All right, so going on the lines of teams, finding out ways that teams can rebuild and get better for next season, let's talk about the Milwaukee-Toronto series.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Milwaukee was up 2-0 going on the road and somehow, some way, lost four straight. This season, they haven't lost back-to-back games ever before.
They haven't lost more than three games in a row up until this series.
Exactly.
And they lost four straight. Kawhi beat them four straight.
That's crazy.
Because when they asked Kawhi about that, and remember Kawhi said, ain't nobody, you know, nobody's beating them four straight. That was a true statement.
Yeah.
Nobody's beating them four straight times this year.
So now that the Bucks are out, before we get to talking about Kawhi, obviously, I want to know, do y'all still feel like Giannis is, like, MVP?
Yeah, just the regular season.
So that this playoff didn't really change your mind? So, like, oh, that's still
no,
that's
he
still
took the steps that me and FIFO expected him to take. I mean, it would have been even doper if he was able to get to the finals. But me and FIFO were saying Eastern Conference Finals, or it can't be nothing less than that this season. And he took that step. And what me and FIFO have always been saying, you gotta get those bruises. You gotta get going through those tough pains, growing pains, whatever. Yeah. So this is a tough moment for Giannis right now.
Like, yeah, he walked out the interview. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts. It's gonna hurt him. So you need that pain. Sometimes you need that pain. And I'm pretty sure Giannis, knowing the type of player he is, he's gonna go back into the lab and work. That is fuel.
That's what it's fuel. They say he got the worst at the work ethic to be a better player.
Oh, yeah.
Look how much he's grown as a basketball player.
The way they lost, they went out, it's going to sting him. And he's going to go back into the lab this offseason and be ready. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure when he get the MVP award, he's not going to care. He's going to be like, look, I feel like we fell short, whatever. I'm going back into the lab and I'm working. Like, he seems like that type of player. Like,
I came here so I can get fined.
Right. Like, I want the ship. I don't want no MVP. Like, yeah. MVP is cool, but I want that ring.
So then we know what he's going to do in the offseason. What do the Bucks do in the offseason to get better?
I think that for them to really take that championship leap, they need a second guy. Because I don't think Chris Middleton is
the third guy. He's not a number two. He's a third option.
He's a third option.
And they need that too.
And even Giannis, as a scoring option, isn't number one.
He's a number two.
Mm-hmm.
As a scoring option. But as a playmaker, obviously the leader of the team, he's the guy. Mm-hmm. But as a scoring option, they need a number one
right
guy.
Now, you know, tell him what
exactly.
If he,
I don't know what he comes
back. We don't know
what
he go. Yeah. We don't know what his arsenal might come back.
Exactly.
This
because there was a couple of possessions down the stretch against Toronto where Reggie Miller, he stated, I hear it loud and clear, like if he was playing it right now, that these possessions showed us the holes in Giannis's game.
Yeah.
When they were coming down 2 minutes left and your best player got to come down and get quick, easy shots. And especially when you that size, whatever, you could push the ball down court, put your back to the guy, 2-3 dribbles, you know, speed past them, pull up, boom. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? 8 feet. You got to be able to make that. That should be nothing for him.
Right.
He don't have that. He don't have that. He don't have a, you know, let me get to this spot. Oh, let me work up and under. He needs that. He sorely needs that. And everybody made the comparison against LeBron against San Antonio. That's exactly what it looked like. Mm-hmm. Let's go way up under these screens. Yeah, he made a couple of threes, but you got to kill him. Oh, that's what you're going to give me? Bad.
Yep.
Make 4 out of 5 of these joints wide open.
I always find it weird and interesting the fact that big men can't shoot. Like,
it's their hands, bro.
And not like big men in general, but like wing big men like him. Or like Ben Simmons is not like can't shoot because he's shown progression with his shot, but like to pull up like these dudes is like they coming up to your chest and reach is like 7 foot. You should be able to shoot over him easy.
But you gotta understand, typically when you grow that quick, right? Like a lot of you're just learning basketball skills because when you're playing ball, in terms of getting to the basket and finishing around the basket, because when you that big and you that young. not saying that nowadays you're not going to put him out on the perimeter, but what you teaching that kid? You teach that, hey, man, go
down low.
These guys too small. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So by the
time you try to make it easy.
Exactly. So by the time they grow and everybody else is catching up to them or around their same height, right, and talent level, that's when, you know, they probably start to mold that aspect. You know, and Giannis never knew he was going to be this good. You know, Giannis was just out there hooping. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, he just... You know, he's one of those diamonds in the rough. We knew KD was going to be KD. Nobody knew Giannis was going to be Giannis.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So just his skill level, what he worked on was a little different. Look at Ibaka, right? Ibaka came into the league as an athlete, defender, all five positions.
Offensive liability.
Also, he got a jumper, and that thing wet.
It's like Jeremy Grant.
Jeremy Grant.
It seems like, you know, it's funny that they both play for OKC.
So those guys got through the paces because they were more athletic. They understood defense. They could contribute early to a winning team. Be an offensive liability, but we could cover that. We got superstars on this side. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But can you do this? And I think that Giannis already is doing that, and we're seeing somewhat of a progression of his offensive game. But for him to really, because he's a superstar just because of how he can dominate. But for him to become an offensive superstar, an offensive guy that you cannot stop at all, he needs to add that nuance in his game, and he needs to become more efficient from the three-point line. That if he can work that mid-range, mm-hmm. he get, you know, them Kobe, like, he needs to hit up Kobe. And I already know, you know, probably him and Kobe already work out together, but Kobe got to show him all of that intricacies in that mid-range. You know what I'm saying? This is how you get this shot right here. This is how you go to up and under. You know what I'm saying? This is, you got to teach him that. Them mm-hmm. elbows, he got to be able to dominate them elbows.
B, what player next season can immediately help Milwaukee get to the next level?
A player? Man, what player can help them immediately get you say
CP?
I was thinking CP3? I was gonna say that
CP.
I think Chris Paul could
CP.
Chris Paul. I mean, it'll be the last squeeze of Chris Paul, but
yeah I can see CP3 going. He could.
He's got the attitude. He's got the game.
Because it changes Giannis' game a little bit. Because Giannis got to become more of a finisher now. He can't always be playmaker.
They're going to get him in a trade, all right?
Yeah, they're going to get him.
So
will
you trade with Bledsoe and what else?
I would try to keep Brogdon.
Because
he's a great backup. Yeah, they're going to want him, though.
So because he plays perfect. What if
Houston would want Brogdon instead of Bledsoe? You still make that move?
You going all in. You might as well.
Will you still put CP3, Bledsoe?
No, I got to get rid of Bledsoe.
So you got to get both of them?
Bledsoe played in the playoffs.
So who's your backup PG? Because he can't play all the minutes.
For
George Hill? Still George? You still keep Hill?
Yeah,
George Hill. He showed
that
he was competent.
So keep Hill as your backup and CP3 your starter. Okay.
Probably draft one.
So pretty much trade off both of them if you can for CP. Yeah. Like Bledsoe and Brogdon for CP.
I mean,
would the money make sense? Because I know CP. Because
Bledsoe make money.
Oh, he does.
He had a contract last year, right?
Yeah, I think Bledsoe did just re-up. Yeah. So maybe that'll probably work. CP3 will work over there.
Yeah, I would take back Eric Gordon if I'm Milwaukee. If I'm giving up Brogdon,
because you think Houston Gordon. Blowing it up, right?
Yeah.
So CP3 and Gordon for Brogdon and Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Along with James Harden.
But that contract, as far as money wise, the Bucks, like, don't they just paid Chris Middleton not too long ago too, right?
Yeah.
They got Giannis. He's already paid.
Yeah, Giannis is paid. Well, he not like big paid. Because when
his contract ain't up till for a little minute though, right?
It's like a year or two. Mm-hmm. But when he can re up, it's like, because now he can make the Supermax. So it's like 5 year, 228.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
You had a pause for a minute. That's a lot of goddamn zeros.
Because I was doing the math on, like, because obviously I'm a Knicks fan. I'm looking at the math, like, KD and all that stuff. These niggas, like, $44 million a year? That's just NBA money. Yeah, this nigga get all the sponsorship. Like,
that's what I'm saying,
Nike.
Yeah.
Just think about him between what he make at Nike and
he can live
the
off
NBA.
His sponsorships. You ask him, $44 million? That's just sitting in the bank adding up for interest. Like, man, I'm in the wrong business.
Right. Bro, you're not 6'7".
I wasn't blessed with the touch by God at birth. Man. All right, so let's get it. So, Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
I want to. At what point in the series did y'all think like, damn, this that nigga? To me, it was it? I think it was Game 5 when they were at Milwaukee
against Toronto?
Yeah. It was Toronto on the road.
To me, Milwaukee. It happened before Milwaukee. What really like the solidified Boston series? For me? No, it wasn't even Boston. It was Philly when he hit that game winner. I said, "Oh shit! Like this nigga's destined."
But right when now. Down 0-2, oh, and then Kawhi, they tied the series, yeah. And then when on the road, he hitting back to back step back threes. In they eye, like not yeah, no facial expression either. This mm-hmm. he would y'all talk about Steph and how he shimmies and I piss you mm-hmm. off. It'll piss me off if a nigga just killing me and he ain't saying shit.
I'd rather have it that way. Yeah. I'd rather have it that way. That's respectful. Yeah, that's respectful. Yeah, you just out here do your job. I respect that.
Yeah. Now I want some emotion. Like nigga, looking like don't look through me, nigga.
I'd rather have a nigga kill me without saying shit. Cause you start shimmying and shit, that's what's gonna get me heated. That's what's gonna get
what
me.
What about you,
yeah, B? I think the Phillies. I mean, he had a lot of moments in that Phillies series, yeah, man. Like he had a lot of moments where he was, like, you thought Butler was going. He was going bucket for bucket with Butler, mm-hmm. and even more, and locking him up at the same mm-hmm. time. It's like, damn! Not only is this dude has become, because he was just known for looking for as a defensive guy, but for him getting buckets the way he's getting buckets now, that mid range game and just his.
That's one of the thing you posted on Twitter. Today,
which one?
When Kawhi got subbed in and LeBron's facial expression.
Yes, man. Yes, man. Like, cause he's all about business, man. I think that Philly series where I was just like, golly, like you cannot stamp this guy as a system player no more. He was tagged that for a long time during the Spurs
because
years.
It's the Spurs.
You know, it's the Spurs. It's, yeah, they were like, oh, it's the system. It's like the the Patriots of the NBA.
Exactly.
He shut all that down throughout this whole season and especially this playoff.
Speaking of football comparisons, you know who he reminds me of? Khalil Mack. Because the way he can dominate, it seems like both ends of the, it's crazy. Because he can score, obviously, but his defensive plays, but also his presence alone just makes you feel comfortable. Yeah, everybody else is like, all right, he can take care of that whole section. Anything that happens.
He's going to definitely go down as
He's the deodorant. He'll make everything smell good.
Right.
Like,
he's definitely going to go down as one of the best perimeter defenders we've ever seen in this game. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
Top
yeah. Pippen, and he Kobe, hurt. Jordan. Yeah.
And he's hurt.
Pippen and Jordan, they probably the top three that I've seen.
Nigga, dunking on Giannis hurt.
Yeah.
With the left.
When was the last time we seen this?
With the left.
Like, but Giannis did get a nasty block on him.
Kawhi he did.
Giannis.
It was off that give and go, and he thought he was gonna get that. Mm-hmm. And Giannis said,
"Nah, buddy." man. Kawhi, man, smooth, man. He just feel just straight faced. Just no Terminator. Just no facial expressions or nothing. Just all about that business.
He
would have
been the perfect assassin.
Yes, man.
So going into these finals with Golden State now, Kawhi's getting like when was Game 6? Was that Saturday? So this past Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Because if they would have lost, it would have been Monday. They would have played Game 7 Monday.
Since Saturday, NBA Finals start on Thursday at 8 p.m.
So you got rest about 5 days of rest.
So 5 days of rest, definitely needed for him. Mm-hmm. But the Warriors been off since what? Since last
a week and a half. Yeah, a week and a half.
A whole 2 weeks. Is rest a factor with this series as far as both sides? Will this help out Toronto? Like, and if it is a factor, who does it help out more? What team does it help?
Well, it definitely is going to help out Toronto more because they know you're going into this game without KD. And I forgot that they have home court advantage. I forgot that they had
by one game.
I forgot that they have
regular season matters.
Yes, I forgot that they had home court advantage. So, I'm pretty sure that's definitely a top priority for Raptors to be like, we got to take this game one. We have to.
Yeah, no, just hold on. I say we got to get both of these motherfuckers.
Of course,
game one is priority.
It sets the tone.
Because Golden State is what, 18-1 in game ones in a playoff series?
I think that they lost, was that Cleveland when they played Cleveland?
Probably.
Talking about when Cleveland came back 3-1? Yeah. Warriors definitely won game one.
They won game one that one?
Yeah.
No, I think it's the one when Kyrie went down.
Kyrie and K-Love?
Yeah. Remember, K-Love got lost in the Boston series.
Kyrie got knocked out game one, right?
Kyrie got knocked out game one going into overtime.
Yeah,
I think they won that
game. Yeah, they did.
That's the one they won.
Damn.
But, definitely game one is important. And this is the first time the Warriors start off on a road since this dynasty started.
Yeah, so this is interesting. And it was another step. I think Ken had posted this, but last time a team tried to go three-peat was the Miami Heat. Kawhi stopped that. when he beat them in the Spurs. That was right there before when LeBron went back to Cleveland. And now this is the time to go to State trying to three-peat. Yeah. And, like,
the Kawhi guy.
If they can pull this off and beat the Warriors. Man, think of what this do to Kawhi's like resume.
To me, if he can pull this off, he'll be top 15 if he could do this.
He jumps like that.
He'll be
top 15 all time.
Yeah, yeah, because he's almost like a dynasty breaker.
Right.
Like, bruh.
Like, dude.
Y'all remember playing Killer Instinct? Combo breaker. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here with that.
Yeah. Man, if Kawhi can do this, man, and ball out.
I'm not saying top 10. I'm not saying top 5, but top 15 because he definitely elevates.
Do you bring in Toronto? Say. Not only did they go into their first ever finals, their first ever championship.
And then who do they do it against? The dynamic Golden State Warriors.
That's what I'm saying.
And this is what I was going to say, too, about the rest thing. I think it helps Toronto more and it hurts Golden State more.
Because Golden State was in the groove. They was in the groove against Blazers.
And it's not like they were in the groove. Me and B, look, you think we all said it. Me and B have had summers where we look like Clay and Steph out there. And I can tell you, if we missed a week or two, that third week we come out here is going to take about 2-3 games to get right. Where if we would have played those 2-3 weeks, that as soon as we check out the ball, he go be bang. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's going to hurt Golden, especially if they come out rusty. Mm-hmm. They can't, but if they come out on fire, then that just means that they was ready.
Yeah.
That's what that means. And if they come out on fire, even if they lose, they can't get blown out. I think blowouts in game one sets a very bad message to whoever got blown out.
If Toronto come out and beat these fools 115 to 84 or something like that, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very – because now it's going to make you think, like, okay, how soon they going to try to push KD back?
Exactly.
You know, it's like they're already saying – they don't really know his time of return, actually. Nope. They just know he's out game one.
I think they know more than that. I think he should not be playing the rest of this
– You think he's done?
I think that's what they know. I think
Boogie's going to play at some point because they listed him probable, and he's been scrimmaging already in practices. So.
Yeah, I think Boogie will play, but I think it depends on what it looks like.
I think he'll play – I think Boogie will come back when they go back home.
Yeah, game.
Like, so you think one
two,
and two?
I think the first
no KD, no Boogie.
Yeah, I think it's no KD.
So Toronto gotta win. They gotta go up to.
Here's the thing. So how do you think the matchup with Boogie and Gasol goes? You think that's a key matchup if Boogie is back, or do you think Gasol is gonna have the same type of impact? Like, do you think Draymond can neutralize that?
Toronto's gonna definitely have to play small ball. They're gonna definitely have to play small ball.
Will he block at the five?
Yep, they're gonna have to play small ball. Only time you play Gasol a lot, I think, is if Golden State, if Boga's in there. You cannot have Ibaka and Gasol in there with Draymond playing center. And
I honestly would play Ibaka more minutes.
Especially if Iggy comes back too. I think he's coming back.
And that's the thing that go to your point.
I was gonna say so if I'm Nick Nurse, right? I would at least want to see what it looks like because I have.
You're going to try with Ibaka and Gasol?
Exactly.
Okay.
I would want to see at least what it looks like, especially with Gasol, because Ibaka is a face-up big. He's not a back-to-the-basket big.
Right.
But Gasol got back-to-the-basket moves. And if they try to put Draymond on him, I would want to see if I could win that matchup. But here's the thing. The caveat to that is Mark can't stay in front of Draymond on the other end. So
Draymond get that rebound and run up court.
Exactly.
Gasol ain't keeping up with that, dog.
Gasol is built like, you know, Pablo Escobar right now.
That's why you cannot play big ball with them. You got to play. They was able to do it with Milwaukee because Milwaukee long as hell.
Draymond even faster than Ibaka.
No, but Ibaka got enough juice.
He got enough juice. Him and Siakam.
I would think that's the matchup.
Yeah.
I think the X factors is Siakam and for Toronto and Draymond.
Depending on if Draymond is on his engine running like he was against the Blazers, I can see Kawhi neutralizing that a few times.
My main thing with Kawhi when it comes to defensive matchups, because obviously if KD was playing, we already know how we would easily see the matchups.
Yeah.
But with KD going to be out for definitely game one, maybe game two, I would look at quarters. I won't really look at players' matchups. Because remember, FIFO, you brought this up to my attention as far as their third quarter runs. Mm-hmm. That's how Golden State gets you at. We was even playing 2K here this past weekend. Mm-hmm. It was that third quarter that separated me and you from playing. So it's just like, for me, for Kawhi, I would focus in on – if I was Nick Nurse, I'd be like, bro, for all third quarter, you guarding Steph.
It may be a bad thing, but that's just me because it's like
You mean guarding him
as far as you're the main, if you can obviously switch, try to do a switch
running around him like that.
But for that quarter, that's a key quarter.
Well, I would start him off. Because I get what you're saying. You're 100% right. Like, you don't want Golden State to go off on one of those runs that separate you for the entire game.
Exactly.
Because Golden State is the one team that they could take one run and it's a wrap.
Yeah.
You ain't no coming back. It might be only 22 points.
They're going to run picks, though. They're going to make them switch.
Exactly.
If Kawhi's guarding Steph, they're going to set double, triple picks.
I understand.
But
here's the thing, though, right? Like, so I think Toronto is one of those unique rosters that can match up small ball because of the Siakams of the world, right? So imagine, think about who they primarily want to pick and roll with is with Draymond, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Siakam's guarding Draymond, what's the difference between Draymond and Kawhi? I mean, Siakam and Kawhi.
Right.
Obviously, Kawhi's better, but shit, Siakam's long. He can move his feet.
So that means you talking about going even smaller. So like having Kyle Lowry, Van Fleet, Danny Green, Kawhi, and Siakam.
Yep.
That can be a small. If Draymond's a center, yeah, you right. If they have Draymond and Andre Iguodala as they 4 and 5,
mm-hmm.
yeah, because Lowry, you got to put Kawhi and Siakam as your 4 and 5.
Because Lowry and Van Vliet, they can play off each other.
And Danny's Green big enough.
Exactly.
Yep. He can switch on all that.
My main thing with Kawhi and Steph is as far as the length. And I like how you brought up Siakam too. Steph, he loves taking those 30-plus jumpers.
And he can hit it on length. No, but he can hit it on length.
But not that type of length.
Huh?
Not with – I'm talking about Kawhi's defensive knowledge and basketball IQ. He'll make it uncomfortable for him.
But see, this is what makes superstars superstars. This is what makes – was it not Kyrie that dropped 55 against the Spurs that had a Kawhi Leonard?
Yep.
Is it not Steph that be going ballistic on anybody? When you're that special, right, the only person that can lock you down per se is yourself.
And
there's guys that can make it harder. And Kawhi is one of those unique guys that it don't matter what you do great, I can make it way harder for you.
Steph can still be Steph against Kawhi. Steph, even though his numbers look great in the finals, he's never that dude that really takes it over.
I feel you.
He's never won a finals MVP. We talk about him changing the game for the future of basketball, yet Iggy got one and KD got the last two.
But he also got the first ever unanimous MVP, though.
That's fine, but what you rather have, finals MVP or regular season?
But he
got
the ship, too, though, in that process.
He still got a chip.
I'm just saying, this is the year that Steph has to win finals MVP.
It is, especially
for
KD.
For his legacy.
Yeah, especially
y'all talking about
KD
and moving out to New York or whatever the fuck to secure his legacy. Steph got to win finals MVP for me to say he's that nigga for real.
I think the fact that he revolutionized basketball, it still won't taint him that much if he don't get in finals MVP. Because just think, even last year, people were still kind of like, damn, Steph Curry should have still kind of got it. Because I think KD had like a monster game 3 and 4 or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
he had like two monster games.
But before that, Steph was still balling in that finals last year. It was just KD had those like one or two good moments that just kind of like overshadowed everything. Because remember, everybody was saying like, I think Steph should have won that finals MVP. They was kind of questioning that finals MVP. You remember?
But I think it was game 3 when KD pulled up.
That's what I'm saying. I think it was just like moments. But
those are moments.
Right. But
Steph has to have that.
I still don't think it would taint him that much. Especially if he still balls out.
I'll put it like this. First of all, he won more than KD. That's number one.
Yep.
That's number one.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter if Iguodala won that damn finals MVP. I still got one more than KD. We did it before you, bro. And if he wins more than KD after the fact.
Right.
Or even if he gets to more finals than KD after the fact.
Right. Right. So it won't taint it. Even if he don't win it. If he barely misses it again this season, it won't. Then, like, if Klay just happened to be magical as hell in this series or something like that.
Well, I think Draymond.
If Draymond be magical. If Draymond be magical as hell like he was in this Blazers series.
Because the one that they lost to the Cavs, if they win that game,
Draymond wins finals MVP. Yeah, I agree.
Did he have a triple or was he close to it?
He was close to it, but he was balling.
And he was balling that game seven. He had like 30 points.
He seemed like he was the only one that was really ready to play in that game seven. Yeah.
So – that's my thing as far as Steph. And for me, it's also we're gonna get into the predictions. But for me, it's also very key as far as Steph when it comes to he has to do something to make up for the loss that they have. Like, it got to be a point, because they all talk in the media is talking about how KD, he's not important. They already got here this far without him. Mm-hmm. He's really a luxury. But when you have, like you mentioned, KD's out, Cousins is out, Iggy is ailing, he may be out.
I think he's going to play.
But he'll be limited minutes, if that, probably. Like, it gets to a point where, like, all right, they're not 100% as a squad, as the dynasty.
This is time for Toronto to put their foot on this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Steph has to show, like, we still good. Like, we still have the core three.
It's a big moment for Steph. If Steph can come out here and clown in game one and they win and, you know, go back home up 2-1, you know, that'd be a good look.
I see this matchup as, like, Thanos versus Cap, Iron Man, and Thor. Like, it's Draymond, Clay, and Steph versus Kawhi. Right. Like, this is where they show up.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it will help KD's legacy as far as they didn't win it before me and they ain't win it after me.
Well, they won it before you.
I mean, as far as like,
but it's still kind of asterisk though. You still can kind of put an asterisk next to that first one that Golden State won, because LeBron didn't have his two horses with him,
and he took him to six with that.
He took him to six with Dellavedova being his second best out here. Right? You know what I'm saying? So you could kind of put an asterisk next to that Golden State final, that first one.
And even if you did, he still didn't win Finals MVP in that asterisk year.
Right, in that asterisk year, because I mean,
you can't
expect a player to win without his two best guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't expect Jordan to beat those Utah Jazz without Pippen and Rodman.
Yeah, like, exactly.
There's no way. So I'm saying, I use that same analogy for LeBron when he didn't have Kyrie and Kevin Love. It's like, come on, y'all. What y'all expect? Like, y'all can't be like, oh, I thought LeBron was supposed to be the greatest, dude. If Jordan didn't have his two horses, ain't no way he beat that Utah squad. Both
we seen him without him.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. How hard it was.
It's tough, man.
So the main question is: we want it to be good, but will this series go the distance, or like, is this a sweep? People saying it could be a sweep
for who?
For Golden State.
Golden State sweeping. No. I'm still sticking with my guns and saying Golden State is going to win this, but if KD does not come back in this series, it definitely makes things a little more interesting. I can see it. I can see it going seven.
Without KD.
Without KD.
Is that without KD and Cousins, or is that just without KD?
Without KD. Because I don't know how much of a factor Cousins might be coming back. I don't know if he's like super, super ready.
The way they've played him, he's kind of been like a defensive liability at some points when it comes to pick and roll. But as far as his production, though, like he's double-double. He'll get you at least 15 and 10.
Yeah.
So that counts. Marcus Saw out the paint.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, he sure can.
I mean, they both kind of are stretch, you know, bigs. Yeah, they stretch five. But obviously you would rather have a healthy Cousins over a healthy Gasol at this point in their careers.
I still got Warriors, though. I still got Warriors.
Warriors in at least six?
Yeah, six, seven. You know, if Warriors had KD full 100%, I'm like, Warriors at five. I'd have gave Toronto one game just because they got home court advantage. But, this can go six or seven, man. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes seven without KD.
So even without KD, for me, six is the most.
Six games is the most?
But I really think it's going to happen four or five. And
you think the Warriors going to sweep? Possibly?
I think it's possible, man. Because of that type of group. Look, man, we seen Steph and Klay and Draymond be in that groove. Because let me tell
that
you.
Portland
but not against Kawhi.
Right, because I mean, regular season they 0-2 against Toronto.
He's the best player in this series.
That doesn't matter.
You're gonna stop being disrespectful.
Kawhi Leonard not the best player in the series.
Just because you from Africa, you dark as hell. You better stop disrespecting all the light folk out here. We matter too.
Pusha T ain't the only one talking that shit with cornrows. Like, hey, Kawhi.
You said Kawhi's the best player.
He's the best player in the series. You can't say that. You cannot disagree with that. You have to know that Kawhi Leonard is the best player.
Based
off.
Man, but Steph had amazing Western Conference Finals, man.
But he don't impact the game like Kawhi does. And y'all both know
that.
Not
on the defense.
Not on the defense.
But look, man, his offense is so great that it impacts
the defense. It impacts the defense.
You can't say that. You say Patrick Mahomes.
It extends the defense so much further, man, that stuff that Kawhi don't – it doesn't require.
Yeah, man.
Steph, you have to – Man, it's the second he comes to that half court line, you have to go out there.
You got to
go out the logo, man.
But who better, Steph or Kawhi?
What you mean, who better?
Who better?
I mean, LeBron's better than Steph.
I'm asking about Steph and Kawhi. Who's better?
What you mean, who's better?
Who's the better player?
Oh my God! Why are you asking that question?
This is a sports show. Come on, this is definite. This is all. We only got two things that we sure show is wins and losses. Who going?
Let me ask you. Who do you think ranked higher in 2K?
I don't give a damn about all that.
I'm just saying because them niggas they study all of that. They update all the attributes and all of
they
that.
They updating that shit now.
I feel you. But who you think is ranked higher?
Probably Steph.
I think.
But what does the eye test tell you?
The eye test tells me Steph.
Who made a game seven? You just said Kawhi was that nigga since Philly.
I feel you. But look, man, I'm not going to put disrespect on Steph.
Being number two don't mean you ain't a bad thing.
No, I feel you. But here's the thing. The impact that Steph has on a defense is greater than the impact that Kawhi has on a defense.
I disagree.
Kawhi has the size and he has the defense over Steph. One-on-one, of course, Kawhi's the best defender in the league. Right? I give him that. But what makes up for what he adds on the defensive end is the fact that you can't game plan for what Steph does. You can get the ball out of Kawhi's hand. Steph is... The only reason why Steph don't score 30 is because Steph, it's him. He had a bad shooting night. But you can't out-scheme Steph.
But when Steph has a bad shooting night, he doesn't make up for it on the defensive end.
He gets deflections. He gets steals.
He don't do it like that.
But he's not a defensive star.
He only had that one year where he, and I think that was one of his MVP years, where he led the league in scoring and steals.
Mm-hmm. Man, Steph since then,
obviously he got KD, so he could pull it back. But for this series, where they're Golden State's not 100%.
Steph Western Conference Finals, man. 36.5 points, 7.3 assists, 8 rebounds a game, 47% field goal percentage, 42 3-point percentage, man. Like, how you guard that?
Because look at who he was playing against. He was playing against the Portland Trailblazer team that let him get off the screens. Like it was like this is Sunday afternoon.
Game one was like that.
The first two games was like that.
No, they made adjustments that second game. The first game it was like what? Why are y'all not going out there? Like, I give you the first game. The first game was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. But let me check out Kawhi's stuff. But
Kawhi got some good stats.
31.2 a game.
8.8 rebounds. And I don't know, assists is probably like four or five or something like that. Blocks is probably two.
Nah, he ain't getting no damn
two. You get two blocks a game?
Nah, I don't think he was doing all that.
Nonetheless, man, y'all gotta push it. Kawhi's doing something that's never been done before.
Which is?
Take his team to the finals in the year that they traded their best player. We talk about LeBron comparisons as far as could a LeBron James team do this without this, like all that. LeBron James ain't never done that before. Where their team trades their best player, he went on that team and took them to the finals next year.
But he got everybody traded halfway through the season and still made the finals. I think that's harder.
Not on a different team.
It's a damn different team. Who? Everybody that I came to work with on Monday wasn't the same niggas on Tuesday. Right. Fuck you mean? That's a brand new team.
Spurs was still a playoff squad. You did was switch Kawhi and DeMar.
Spurs got knocked out first round.
They were still. What did LeBron do when he left the Cleveland the first time? And what did Cleveland do after LeBron? What did Cleveland do this past year after LeBron left?
That made me say it, right? Raptors in six. Raptors in six.
So you trust Kawhi that much?
I didn't get the Milwaukee pick right, so I'm staying with the East.
That's all I'm about to say. So you just gonna be hard headed on the East.
It gets to a point where time they need KD. They need their star. Like they got these players for a reason. Steph and them went to the Hamptons because they said we need you, bro.
But this was built off.
They still saying that now.
This was built off of Steph. Steph is the reason why they do what they does.
Yeah, man.
Steph is the Warriors, reason why man. They do what they does,
bro. Warriors. I know you believe in the Raptors too much.
You know, I'm gonna use a Billions analogy. Mm-hmm. Steph is Wendy, but KD is Bobby. Wendy's important. Is she not important? Not She's even. Important to the squad. No, man, when they need her, they got her.
No, because
what she do to Taylor?
Wendy is more like Draymond.
Nah, Wendy.
Wendy is Draymond.
Wags is Draymond.
KD is Taylor.
Nah.
Yeah, you was nice. Man, got some tips, got that experience. Let me take my stuff
you
over
say,
here.
You say Steph is Bobby Axe?
Yeah.
He ain't Bobby Axe, bro.
Yeah.
You got to watch Billions. What do you mean? I'm
telling you, man.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying that it gets to a point in time where losing your all-stars, let alone superstars, will affect the team. You can't go against – this is the finals. This is the ultimate wins and losses competition. It gets to a point where, shit, nigga, we ain't got it. We need our boys.
Man, Steph will play enough, man. Steph will play and they enough.
Gonna clown. They going to clown, man. They gonna clown. Matchups is going to be very interesting because I want to see who's Danny Green going to be guarding. I want to see going to be on is he going to be on Steph or is he going to be on Klay? Like
so
matchup's gonna be interesting.
If the Raptors,
who's Lowry gonna guard?
Well, another key X factor. I said Siakam, but
you
I
trust Lowry in the finals?
Lowry has to be. He balled out.
He balled out. The East Finals.
He listened to Dead End Sports. That's what it
he
is.
He balled out.
He ain't a bum no more.
People said he out in 5 years, right?
Yeah. He ain't a bum no more.
He's respectable.
He played more than respectable, but he just has to maintain it.
Steph will have a field day.
He ain't
day
a bum no more. He's just homeless, right?
Like, yeah.
Steph
will have a field day if Kyle Lowry got to run around and chase him.
He got to make him work for it. He got to be physical. That's the thing. That's my main in game one. What I need to see from Toronto, they got to come out swinging. Like, they got to be
better.
They got to be bumping.
They better.
Because they've been in the playoffs. They've been letting them play. They've been physical out. So
they better. They
somebody
better
clip Steph's ankle. Somebody.
Come on, man. Why are you promoting horse play out here, man?
Hey.
Come on, man. We don't want to see that. We don't want to see that.
We want everybody healthy.
How much money you got on the game? You over here talking about you want somebody to get hurt and trip somebody up, man.
We talking about competition. Right,
Raptors.
This ain't no love in these streets. What are you talking about?
You ain't playing.
These is hard fouls.
Y'all
grew up. Y'all love 90s basketball. Y'all said that's the best era. Niggas was doing what? They had the Jordan rules. They didn't give a damn about what if Jordan could get up. They just want to put him down.
No,
come
man.
Come on, man.
No, man. It's
Raptors in six.
Raptors are not gonna beat. No, no.
How important is game one for both teams? Or is it more important for one team than the other?
I think it's important for both teams not to get blown out. So it doesn't
so
matter
the
if you
wins
win
or
lose.
It doesn't matter.
Because at the end of the day, you have to win on somebody's home floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So whether that's for Golden State or whether that's for Toronto, the first game is important. I think the stat, you know, before these playoffs or whatever is like whoever wins game one typically wins it 70-some percent of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that you can't win it, especially when you are a dynastic team like the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
So I wouldn't put 100% stock in it. But again, to me, it's never about if you lose. It's how you lose when losing it. Are you guys connected? Is the chemistry still there? Did you just miss shots?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get your shots?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it depends on what it looks like. If they look discombobulated, if they look like they forced a lot of stuff up, like they missed KD.
Oh, you're talking about Warriors.
The Warriors. Then I'm concerned. You know what I'm saying? But again, they're shooters and they've had a lot of time off. So if they miss some shots that they typically make, you know what I'm saying? They're just a little rusty. I'm okay with that. Toronto need to be playing like this is, you know what I'm saying, game five, what they beat them in six? Game seven of Milwaukee.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? They need to play, it just needs to be an extension of the last series.
Mm-hmm.
They need to play with that type of lather. They need to play with that type of confidence, the way that they were playing, what they brought to the table, executing the game plan. It needs to feel like just the other day.
The Toronto's bench has to keep up that because to me,
VanVleet is going to be key.
That's the thing. Like after game, what game was it that he
you know
started,
why, right?
What, oh, because he had a kid?
He had a son.
Because he was 18? He's been 18 for 21 for threes?
He's been banging them things. He ain't missing. So, you know, they're going to need an effort like that. You know, Danny Green,
he can get hot one game.
Yeah, but he faded big time. Like,
yeah, he
was non-existent. So he needs to get his stuff together. You know what I'm saying? Because they're definitely going to need him. Milwaukee. Toronto is going to need – we know what Kawhi going to bring. I don't have no questions.
I'm done questioning Kawhi.
You know what I'm saying? We know he's going to give you 25+. He's going to play offense, defense. He's going to make tough shots. He's going to do all that. It's the other guys. Can Kyle Lowry, let's say if this is a 7-game series, can he play good in 3 or 4 games? You know what I'm saying? Like, can he do that? You know, are you putting money on that? I don't know. You know, can we say Danny Green could give you 2 games? Siakam needs to be consistent offensively and defensively, primarily defensively. You know what I'm saying? Can because here's the thing. Watching both Milwaukee and Toronto, I felt that Toronto has always kind of raised as the series went on. Do they have that last level to play at? Because that is what Golden State is going to test. Golden State is going to test, can you withstand this avalanche? Do you have enough mental fortitude to play for 48 straight minutes? Because a 90-second run against Golden State will lose you the game. Do you have enough mental toughness to keep chipping away, playing great defense, missing shots, chipping away, getting a defensive stop? Does Toronto have that? That's their question mark. If they have enough of that, if they get the contributions that's required from the Van Fleets, from the Kyle Lowry's, from the Ibakas, from all of these guys, then they definitely, most definitely have a chance. I'm not going to rule them out. They're a good team, but they need to play as a great team. Do they have that last level? I don't know.
And the one factor that we haven't talked about, but it's one of, it's probably the most important factor in the playoffs in general, coaching.
Of course.
We I got to give the biggest respect to Nick Nurse. He got the Nick Nurse hats going around. Mm-hmm. He taking over the city. The way he, again, you fire your coach of the year, you trade away your franchise player, and then the next year you're in the finals. Like, he was the assistant coach, mm-hmm, like last season. And now he's taking this team further than they've ever been, period. And seeing his game adjustments from being down 0-2, mm-hmm, against the best team record-wise in the NBA, to me, that means something. And I think he, with these days off, that's who I think credits Toronto as far as if they come out swinging. It's like he has to be looking at all these games. Look at the Portland series. Look at, you know, what is the Denver series. Who else did Golden State play? Oh, the Clippers series. Mm-hmm. Look at those specific two. See what both of them did right. I'll look at more of the Clippers series in Portland, but you got to look at where we can get our points in, because I don't think they have a little room of error. Obviously, with Golden State, I see even if Golden State is down 0-2, I still won't say, like, until it's, you know, 4-0, mm-hmm, I'm not going to count them out.
Yeah, Toronto got to get them boys 3-0 before I believe they can
exactly
win.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It got to be 3-0. Okay, ain't nobody come
even
for no 3-0
even, even 2-0 is still like, yeah, like, all right, y'all took care of home court. Yep, y'all did what y'all supposed to do. Exactly. Let's see what's going to happen in Oakland.
And that's, so, and if KD come back by the time they go back to Golden State, it's like, shit, it may be a wrap. Like, so
maybe Steve, but Kerr, I would love to see that Kawhi and KD. I wish KD, mm-hmm, was 100% healthy, because I would love to see that.
Oh yeah,
that matchup going in. Yeah. Because let's not forget, last time Kawhi saw this Golden State squad, they were beating them by like 20 some points before, mm-hmm, Kawhi went out. Mm-hmm. When Zaza went,
sabotage.
Just think, I mean, who would have known what would have happened in that series? Because exactly, it seemed like with Kawhi Leonard, Pop had them figured out, and Kawhi, mm-hmm, was giving them boys hell. And this was a KD, mm-hmm, Golden State squad. Mm-hmm. This was, I think that was the first year KD, mm-hmm, went there, and Kawhi was, like I said, they was up by damn near 30.
That first, you know, game, I was watching that game.
It,
yeah,
was down there about 30, man. And like I said, Kawhi went out, Golden State came back, and they swept him.
But remember, DeJounte Murray was a big part of that, too. That length and that size.
Yeah,
that
yeah. Like that. That's what I'm saying, so, man. That Spurs squad was, they was, man, Golden State got lucky.
Yeah,
they got lucky, man. Another
Zaza
year they got
was the
lucky.
Real MVP.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what you want this year.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
That's the way they go
win.
Hey,
yep.
The dark horse MVP. Every year they got somebody as a dark horse MVP.
Yeah, man.
Did y'all see the photo of Steve Kerr and Greg Pop talking?
Yeah, I know people went crazy. Yeah. They were like having lunch or something like that, and they were just like, they captioned, "I want to know everything about Kawhi Leonard," whatever. Like that was a caption and stuff. But I think it's just, you know, good friends or whatever that just having lunch. But of course, you know, internet gonna make it.
But at the end of the day, let's not just, you know, cast it away like something that Pop is not a valuable resource for Steve Kerr. Like I said,
that's the one who mentored him.
Exactly. Yeah. Like he played for him. You know what I'm saying? He was part of the organization. So you know, you still reach out to those type of people. You know what I'm saying? You still reach out to your mentors. Mm-hmm. Those people don't ever go nowhere, especially if they care for you as a real person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm pretty sure that Steve Kerr still talks to Phil Jackson. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure he occasionally may talk to Mike. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, these are people, you know, come on, man, we won a championship together, bro.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, that's a whole different type of thing. And we still in the business of basketball. So.
With that being said, is there any pressure on Steve Kerr?
No.
As far as his coaching style and making sure
Steve Kerr going to be Steve Kerr, bro. There's no other coach that has a groove with his team as big as Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is the pulse of that team, bro. He knows everything that he needs to do. He knows what buttons he needs to press. He knows if I got to go 11 man deep in the first half because of what my guys need. He's super in tune. He's engaged. There's no better coach roster combination in the league right now. There's none better. So, no, Steve Kerr is under no pressure. He knows exactly what he needs to do.
Yeah, no pressure. He'd be all right.
Any final thoughts on the series?
I think it's gonna be a great series.
I think we never expected to see the exactly. Raptors in the finals, so, man. That's crazy.
All right, so before we get to final thoughts, let's talk about the what ifs. Okay. So, what if Golden State wins? What does that say about
KD? Gotta go.
Put them down. Oh, if they win, you can put them in and arguably as the greatest, one of the greatest dynasties in NBA history. They'd be the fourth team to ever three-peat in NBA history. Because you had Boston.
Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago twice. And then, no, yeah, Chicago twice. Chicago's still one team. Then LA, the Kobe, Shaq, LA. And then it's Golden State.
Does Steph go into top 10 or is he already in top 10?
Top 10 all time.
Yeah.
Three-peat.
Well, top 10 basketball player all time?
Yeah. That's talking about he changed the game of basketball.
I know. I mean,
yeah, he's got the MVP.
You can start making arguments now, because this will be his fourth ring.
It'll be his fourth ring.
Fourth ring and a possible
that's elite
and a possible company. Finals MVP.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
More than Brian, right?
Yeah.
More than Brian.
With the same team too.
With the same squad.
That's as many as Kobe, right?
No, Kobe got five. Yep.
Shaq got four.
Yeah, Shaq got four.
So as many as Shaq.
Yeah,
bro.
Magic got five.
You can scratch off.
Bird got three.
And if they win, they still, like you said, they still young.
Yeah.
They still got multiple opportunities, and
they can still keep them three together at least, you know, Draymond, Clay, and Steph.
That's their big three. That's their real big three.
Yeah.
That's their real big three. They drafted three.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can make that argument. Like, you know, if someone make that argument, you can't really get mad at it. Like, well, shit, he got the accolades. He already shattered the most three points in the playoffs, so he's going to shatter the all-time record. Like, he's going to shatter the Ray Allen record.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Gonna shatter
he's
going
to double
like,
it.
Yeah, he's like, going to shatter that, man. Like,
he's even done.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. But
so what about Toronto? What if Toronto wins?
If they win,
the whole thing.
Yeah.
Kawhi's the best player in the NBA.
He's the best player in the NBA.
So if he wins,
you
got to give him that crown.
For this year or just moving forward
to NBA?
I mean,
you got to take it away from Kawhi.
You got to take it away from Kawhi, yeah.
You got to take it away from Kawhi. Because with or without KD. With or without, because you're talking about a dynasty.
Yeah.
And he already did it once.
Yep.
If he does it again.
If he does it again, stopping him for 3-point.
Hands down.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you break that up. you responsible for breaking that up, Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah.
No one thought going into this season that we knew Raptors were going to be competing, but like.
Yeah. The finals, penciling them in.
Right. You didn't. Most people, teams you was penciling in the Eastern Conference was either Boston, Philly, and possibly Milwaukee, you know what I'm saying? But we wasn't even thinking about it. We was like, oh, yeah, cool. They got Kyle Lowry. They only got Kawhi Leonard, so they had
It's the same team.
Yeah, same team. Yeah. You're just switching, you know, but whatever. But if he pulls this off, man, and beat Golden State, say if it's like a gentleman sweep, what if he beat them in five games? Like,
yo,
that'd be crazy.
The best player.
That'll be crazy, and he balls out doing it. Finals MVP, they beat Warriors, 35 points a game, beat Warriors in five.
Yep.
Like, with maybe two of them being the blowout wins.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Yep. You got
to
put him as
a had a nasty comeback. They was down 23 in the third with 3 minutes to go. They came back and beat that ass.
Man.
Oh, bro.
Like, dude.
What does that put him? Because I said top 15 and they win. Is that top 15 or is he top 10?
You got to start looking because you're talking about how many championships at this point?
Three. He got
three.
Two with Spurs.
Two
he got two with Spurs.
I thought he only got one.
No, he got two with the Spurs.
He got the 2000 and
one finals MVP.
Wait a minute. When they beat us in 2005, they didn't have Kawhi.
Nah, Kawhi was.
So he's
21.
2007, when they swept LeBron. He was on that squad when they swept LeBron.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't on that
Kawhi's
squad.
Kawhi's young.
Oh no, he wasn't on that squad.
So he only got one.
I think he only got one.
So that's
when he sent LeBron
backpacking to Cleveland. That finals.
Yeah. Okay. 2014.
So two chips, but he's two. Is he two for two in the finals?
Yeah.
No, they lost. Remember, they lost the year before.
Oh, they lost when Ray Allen hit the three. Ray Allen hit the three the year before.
So he could have won. That's what you were thinking about. He could have won that second. He could have had two before he left.
But when he won that one against LeBron and against the year that LeBron went, he had the finals MVP.
Yeah.
He was the finals MVP. That was, he had a remarkable playoff run too that year.
Stopped two dynasties, got traded to this team,
and took him to the finals.
You just swapped one guy.
Yep.
Like, you pretty much just took this guy and put him over here, and that's it. Like, it wasn't like Kawhi and like five other pieces or nothing like that.
One other guy. Danny
Green. Danny Green. That's it. Danny a role player. Like a role player.
Danny's shitty as hell right
Man,
now.
Man, like, that's all you do, and you take that squad in, and you win a championship with him.
So if he does that.
Their first ever.
If I'm DeMar DeRozan, I feel him.
Boy, that was about to go, that's what I was going
to. Boy.
DeMar DeRozan has to feel like, damn, I thought y'all need. It's like, you know, you know, you know when your when you leave your chick, and then you think she you the best she ever had, and then you see her go with somebody else is like driving a Beamer or some shit,
man,
shitting on you. You be like, man, fuck that nigga. DeMar in a empty ass room with the lights off, punching the air.
Y'all ever watch Game of Zones?
Yeah, I watched it.
So did you see the one when they traded DeMar?
Nah, I didn't see that.
Oh, man, Kyle Lowry was going nuts. Y'all got to watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
That's
funny.
But, yeah, man, that's crazy.
So going into that, though, if Kawhi wins and the whole thing,
he the best.
Is he staying?
That's a good question right
there,
too.
Yeah, I think that.
Do you stay? No, we were just about to give our – we was almost about to wrap up. We were about to give finals predictions.
But, no, we were saying if –
We were doing what-if scenarios. Like, so what if Golden State wins? What you saying if Golden State wins?
What if? Everything. All the narratives.
We're going to do what-ifs on both sides.
You already know.
What's the headlines? What's the story is going to be?
They're going to say what?
Best team ever in the NBA
and I said
of
they,
all time.
I said they would go down as one of the greatest NBA teams of all time. Dynasties of all time. Because they'd be the fourth
team. You'll see both.
They'd be the fourth team ever to win a three-peat.
Yeah, because it's not like what they're doing is anything unique.
Right.
You know, so because we got
think of the class of
five
three-peats.
Finals in 6 years?
But there are other teams that's done that, though.
One other team.
No, they went to five finals straight.
Or five straight
as
finals.
As a team.
No
team has done that
Boston.
Since the Boston.
And Boston only had eight teams.
It was only like 10 teams in the league.
I mean, they still
that
done it, though.
But Ken! Nobody's done it in the modern NBA.
Man, okay, wait.
25 plus teams has never been done.
You said eight teams?
It was 10. It was 10.
How many teams in the league?
Ten teams back then in the 50s.
How many good teams in the league right now?
At least five.
All right. So the numbers make sense.
Okay. This is semantics.
So you're saying if Golden State win it, they'd be saying it is the greatest team.
You'll hear that, and you'll hear what you're saying, because they're gonna be some smart basketball people like one of, and not just make it.
So what if Toronto win? What's the story?
Kawhi, three-peat killer.
Yep, that's what we're just saying.
Three-peat killer, man.
Yep.
Three-peat killer.
Where would you list Kawhi if he pulls this off? Where do you think people will list him as far as like the all-time greats or whatever? Or will he be listed yet?
I mean, it'll probably be since he already has one. I don't think he would go that high.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but he busted up 2 three-peats.
Like top 20, top 25.
Yeah, is he top 15?
But it's also teams on the way down too.
Golden State
don't have Boogie and don't have KD.
Yeah, but the way they've been playing, can you honestly say that they're on the way down? Because they're playing
at, they're not at full strength, though.
They're not at full strength, but they're still playing at a very high – they're playing at a higher level than any other team right now.
And the year they won their first chip, they didn't face Kyrie or K-Love, so.
Yeah, they faced LeBron.
I understand that. I'm just saying, like, to the point that you're trying to make is that, yeah, they're down, but when they won, the other team was down, too. That don't mean – it really don't mean shit. You're in the finals.
Yeah, but LeBron was established. Like,
okay, but Toronto's – but Toronto's
Kawhi ain't established?
Nah, not like LeBron was. Not like LeBron,
but he's a Finals MVP.
But he's a Finals MVP, and he's been a Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I don't know where I would rank him.
So pretty much Toronto 15. Win, Kawhi, three-peat killer.
Yeah, just good three-peat killer, good job, dap you up, great.
Is Kawhi the best player in the NBA?
Hell no.
If he wins,
you
said hell no?
If they beat Golden State in five games.
You can say no. You don't mean hell.
No, I can say hell no.
Why?
So who's the best player in the league still?
It's going to be between LeBron and KD.
And KD still?
I don't care if they hurt. I don't care if they're not in the playoffs. Mm. That's the most ridiculous logic or reasoning I have ever heard.
You tripping. Because
just because you're not playing don't mean you ain't great.
Whoa, hold on. Look.
Man, we got to go see Blue.
Why LeBron ain't playing?
Hold on.
We got to go see
Blue. He ain't make the playoffs, did he?
Hold on.
We got to go see Blue.
Hold on. So if we, right, look at that, especially that last LeBron team. It was LeBron and a whole bunch of guys, right? Mm-hmm. Can we say the same thing about this Kawhi Leonard Toronto team?
Mm-mm.
Nope. So his co-stars are better than what LeBron
They're
had?
Playing way better than LeBron's role players did on that Cavs team.
I feel you. I give you that because Van Vliet is outplaying anybody
that Where LeBron was that? Had.
I don't think we're going to have a J.R. Smith bonehead.
No, we're not.
Well, your boy Lowry stepped
Yeah, I was
about
to say Lowry might be the J.R. Lowry might be the J.R.
However, the talent disparity isn't that great.
Between who?
Between last year's Cavs and this year's Toronto Raptors. The talent disparity is all-time high.
So who's Gasol?
Either way, the point. If Kawhi and Toronto go out here to Oakland and run these boys 4-0 or 4-1, so what does that say about Kawhi?
He had a great season. Nobody was saying Wade was the best player in the NBA. Nobody was saying Dirk was the best player in the NBA when he won. Just because you win the title don't mean you automatically the best player in the NBA.
People were talking about D-Wade being one of the best players in the
NBA.
But he was in his third year.
But
Kawhi is on his second biggest contract.
But you said one of, not the. We're talking, you guys are trying to say the.
But it was in a different, what is my theory?
3-5, but.
And what year was Dwayne Wade?
It don't matter.
No. Even if you
okay,
win,
what about Dirk?
Early.
Was they saying Dirk the best player in the NBA?
Dirk was already at the end tail end of his career.
In 2011?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tail end?
Yeah.
Yes.
He been holding on. He's just that great. He can still go get 40.
He gave you a Gandalf the Grey performance. It was his last stand, and that was it.
Because Dirk was still putting up buckets.
Yeah, he was balling.
Yeah, I don't think
he wasn't balling after that 2011.
I don't think he was at the tail end of his career.
That was his last great season, bro.
But I guess my point is they were not saying he's the best player in the NBA.
Because already it was too late to call him that. So I put it to you like this. If he would have beat that Miami Heat team, right, what was that, in 06?
Yeah.
Y'all have been ridiculous. 06.
He would have been in the conversation.
Y'all are being ridiculous, man.
We not.
Kawhi is not better. You saying Kawhi is better than LeBron?
Didn't he win MVP?
You saying Kawhi is better
MVP
than KD?
Dirt did
when just because he won a title? Get the y'all crazy.
Man, look. He
y'all sound like Max right now.
Nah, you tripping.
Sound like Nick Wright.
You tripping. All I'm
Kawhi
saying is
Kawhi would be the best player in the NBA.
No, he won't.
Because look at what he's doing, though.
I don't.
You don't care?
No, I don't.
Just because you don't care doesn't mean it's not respectable. You have to respect it.
That don't mean that he's the best player.
How is he not? He's doing something that no one's ever done before.
Like what?
Taking the Toronto Raptors they traded their best player in their franchise and the coach of the year. They fired him. They do away with
good job,
everything.
Masai Ujiri.
They traded to get Kawhi. They got Danny Green along with
it.
That was
champion.
It.
Both champions.
Mm-hmm. But not Danny ain't shit compared to
he's a champion.
All right,
he's a champion, and he was the lead. And he was the leading scorer. Damn near he was actually one of the leading scorers in the finals. They beat LeBron.
Yeah, okay.
So he's a champion.
But he wasn't Finals MVP, so it don't matter.
Hey, but he contributed.
He didn't guard LeBron. He didn't guard LeBron.
He was knocking down buckets.
When LeBron ain't say oh shit when he came into the when he got
buckets.
In the game.
He
I'm
was
saying
oh shit when them threes were going in. He was like oh shit somebody get that motherfucker.
I'm just saying he is taking the Toronto Raptors to the final. We didn't even expect Toronto to get this far.
Why are they in the finals, Nick?
Because of Kawhi Leonard.
Because LeBron is gone.
LeBron was in the West too. Did he stop Golden State getting to the finals? LeBron was in the West too. Did he even make it the playoffs?
So wait, hold on. Let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
So if the Cleveland roster was still there intact this upcoming year, obviously they probably would have tweaked this, that, and the third. You don't think that this Toronto Raptors team could overcome LeBron's Cleveland team?
I do not.
And here's the thing. I'm not saying 100% Toronto would beat Cleveland, but this is why. But Kawhi is the reason why they wouldn't have lost the way that Toronto has lost in the past.
I agree with that.
They wouldn't have got swept.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have been a mental lapse. It wouldn't have been none of that.
Seven.
But either way, though, before we already knew that Toronto, it didn't matter how good of a season they had, Cleveland was going to tap that ass.
Right, but what I am saying is that if LeBron was still in the East, mm-hmm. I would have put my money on LeBron getting to the finals over Kawhi.
And you would have lost.
So I'm saying that LeBron leaving the East opened the door for Kawhi and the Raptors to get to the final. Right. Is that or is that not a fact?
No, that is a fact.
All right.
That is a fact.
That's a point. Not, that's not a fact.
I'm not disagreeing that, but I just want you to not disrespect Kawhi Leonard. I'm not. And these Toronto Raptors.
You know how I feel about
Kawhi. No, I feel you, but.
But I'm not going to say
that.
I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment. And I understand that Kawhi's presence on that team is the reason why they're in the finals. Champion on the team, another guy that played the finals, a guy that's able to coach Kawhi and say, go win this game for us. But I also understand that LeBron is no longer in the East. No,
but also, LeBron's older too. So moving forward, LeBron is not in his prime. Kawhi is in his prime. And you're still saying,
I'm just not giving him that much credit for making it to the finals the way you're trying to give it to him.
I'm saying if he wins it all.
And I'm saying that he won't be the best player in the league. Y'all are being ridiculous. Y'all are being prisoners of the moment.
It's not prisoner. I'm saying
this is
the moment hasn't happened. We're talking about what is. We're talking about hypotheticals. If he wins and he beats the Golden State Warriors, whether it's in six or in seven or in five, wherever it is, he would have to be the best. And if he does it on it, like he's the main leader leading the charge, he has to be the best player in the world.
KD. Mm-hmm. How many championships he got? Two, right? Mm-hmm. Two finals MVP.
Yeah, two finals MVP. Yeah.
When he won those, was he the best player in the NBA?
He was those moments where he was stealing it. He was trying to steal it from LeBron.
But they didn't give it to him, did they? They did not say.
Because of the team he was on. If he would have did that on any other team.
If he was the Kawhi's position.
Been, hands down, KD's better than LeBron.
Don't matter. What I'm hearing.
That's what you were saying.
Look how you holding the microphone.
No, be you right. Because that's, Fee, you right. That's what he said. That's what you said. That's what you always say about KD. It's an asterisk because he's on this team. If he was, he got to go to New York. He got to go to the Clippers.
If KD, if we saw that Kawhi and KD, and KD made this run against Golden State, and KD's Toronto Raptors would have beat this Golden State Warriors 4-0 or 4-1, or he'd be saying KD hands down.
I wouldn't say KD is the best player in the. You know what? I take that back. You might be right because I give KD respect because I think KD could arguably be the best player now.
He should be.
Or LeBron, the best player now.
He should
Kawhi
be.
Hasn't been in that conversation. And him going to the finals.
Been. He has been for the last 3 to 5 years. He
didn't play last year, so. They held that against him. Nobody was talking about him being the best player this year until he beat Giannis in the Eastern Conference Finals.
But they started to see who they can scratch off that list to put Kawhi there.
He's top three.
Throughout the NBA, we have episodes after episodes after episodes. We follow
all
this
I'm saying
game.
Is,
we
all
follow
right, Ken,
the narrative.
Ken,
Nobody Ken, has been talking about Ken. Kawhi as the best player in Ken. The NBA. Not one of the. Come on,
Ken,
man.
Ken, I'm going to name two, and then give me one more name. However you want to. KD, LeBron, and who?
Y'all told me Giannis. Anthony Davis.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right, this has been Dead End Sports for this week.
You told me to get
you talking about AD? Come on.
We're not putting AD over Kawhi.
I never said Giannis.
We're AD over Kawhi.
I just said Giannis is MVP. Kawhi. I just said he's MVP for this year.
We got video of y'all motherfuckers telling me AD was the best player, one of the best players.
I never said he was the best player.
And I didn't say he was better
I never
than Kawhi.
Said he was the best player.
And I didn't say he was better than Kawhi.
Kawhi wasn't even coming up when we were having those discussions. And that's the point.
No, we always
– Run the tape.
Yeah, we can run the tape. Play it in front of this episode.
Kawhi wasn't even making top five.
And I think it was because of the injury, like you said, because he didn't play last year.
Oh, motherfuckers at the brand new.
But he getting his spot back. That's all that is. He's just getting his spot
earning
back.
It, but that don't he could be included in the conversation. That doesn't make him the best.
But we said, what if?
No.
He beats Golden State 4-0 or 4-1. How the hell can you not give it to Kawhi?
Because he just had a good run to the finals, man. Yeah.
Just a good run. Winning a championship is a good run. When is ever winning a championship a good run?
Are you KB is disrespectful?
Because I'm telling you that none of y'all motherfuckers said, well, maybe you did, but none of y'all motherfuckers said KD and was the best player in the NBA after he won two. That winning
because
two
of the squad.
because of the squad.
It shouldn't matter.
It does matter.
You guys are saying that winning the championship makes you the best player in the league.
How can you say that now? How can you make that argument now? But your argument is also that the fact that he is on that squad, it's an asterisk. Like, how can you say you consider him one of
I'm
the best players?
I'm just saying what the people said. Because,
hold on, hold on. I was watching Colin Cowherd, and I want to say it was either Doug Gottlieb or one of those guests that he be having. And he said it the best. It might have been Nick Wright. I don't know. Somebody said this that I was watching earlier, and I 100% agree with it. When you play team sports, right, you want to feel wanted, right? If you're as great as Steph, you want to feel like what you contribute to that squad is the foundation of our success, right? Like, I'm that great. It should be a lot because of me, right? If you take off KD from that squad, there's still a lot of championship pedigree that they don't need. KD is not needed, right? That's the reason why those two championships and those two finals MVPs are somewhat diminished. If Golden State loses, that validates KD a little bit more.
Okay.
Golden State wins, why did we need KD? We didn't need KD. Now, if KD goes to another team, mm-hmm. a la the Toronto Raptors, a la LeBron with Cleveland.
Say the Knicks.
The Knicks. And in 1 or 2 years, they're in the finals, and they dethrone a slightly different version of the Golden State Warriors. Oh, them championships meant a lot because you lost without me, and now I took a
you
whole other damn
squad. You guys are smarter than this.
Oh, come no, on, Ken. To you, take come on, Ken. Using your
something
words.
So no, so primitive of an analysis to say that winning the championship makes you the best player.
No, listen, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's the totality, it's the resume. You came up here last week and you said the reason why I don't respect KD as a player that much is because he went on to a stacked team.
I don't think I said that.
You as much because you don't see him as that dude as much as I see him as that dude. Because you said, because he went on Golden State and won those two championships, you said they don't really mean
shit. Oh, yeah,
shit.
He took
you
the easy way out.
You said
he
ain't shit to the team. You
yeah,
said
I did.
It out loud.
He took the easy way
so,
out.
So he took the easy way out. And you said the only way he will earn your respect is if he goes to the Knicks or some team like that and brings them to glory. So why don't you respect Kawhi if he's already taken the Raptors to the finals? And if he wins, you'll still say
that.
He ain't
I need you to reframe that question.
It's not the reframe.
No, I need
it's
you
what
to
you
ask
said.
Me, why don't I
B,
think
didn't
he,
we just
no, no,
didn't
no, no,
we talk
no,
about
no,
this last
no,
week?
No, no, no. You said respect. Ask me why don't I think he will be the best player in the league if he wins.
That's a respect factor.
No, it's not. I can respect Kawhi. I still don't think he's the best player in the league. And you smart enough to know that. So ask the question the right way. But I've already told you the answer. Because we got KD and we got LeBron. And when LeBron lost to KD, weren't people still talking about he was the best player in the league?
Why?
The motherfucker lost.
But why?
Because of his
what's
resume?
The variable, Ken?
I'm just
you
saying,
do math?
It's not as simple as you guys trying to make it out to be.
Look, what I'm saying is this.
And
whose team is greater around him?
I'll tell you what. I'll KD's modify
team
it this
or
way.
Kawhi's team?
I'll modify who's, it this way.
Go ahead, Ken. Go ahead. Get that shit out.
If Boogie was playing, if KD was playing, and they all were fully healthy, we talking about the full Golden State Warriors, and he beat this team, I would consider it. But you are not going to
consider it.
I would consider it. Yes, but you are not going to be the best player on the team when you beat in the Warriors when they're down two of their best players. I can't do it.
They still
y'all
got three.
Can. But test Mike and see if Blue.
But they still got three though.
Yet.
They still got three. Ken, it's still three
don't
against
matter.
One.
Don't matter. Don't okay. matter.
But you
don't
said matter. Last week KD ain't shit to this team. Yet the fact that he ain't on this team, you still ain't gonna respect Kawhi if he beats this team. That's left over. Or
no,
like you still
no.
want to say he's the best player in the
no,
in,
no,
NBA.
No, I'm not.
Bro, you all
I'm
over
not.
The place.
I'm not.
You flip flop.
Because everybody's saying KD is the best player in the league.
When healthy, he is.
And if Kawhi ain't playing, what people are saying the best player in the league? How the fuck you gonna be the best player in the league?
Because he's
because you ain't beat the motherfucking best player in the
I
league,
told you,
bro.
It's the resume.
Is the resume.
You just Ken, said he'll
look,
be the. You
people,
just
what
said,
I said didn't make sense.
You Ken, said he's the three-peat killer.
What I just said didn't make sense.
Ken, what I'm saying is this: is oh, that crazy. We're not talking 6 or 7 games. We're talking about Kawhi Leonard sweeping the Golden State Warriors. Sweeping. You got to give more precedent. You got to put more weight on that.
Okay, he could be top 5.
But
fine, you put a little bit more respect on the name, but I'm just that's the reason why we said what if, because that is like
I'm operating off of the fact that we already there. So I'm operating off the fact that the if, the what if, the scenario you're proposing has taken place.
He's definitely top five.
Huh?
He's top five now.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah.
So why are you saying he's? So why are you reiterating it for no reason?
Because I'm just I'm reinforcing the fact that he will not be top the number one player in the NBA to me. I just can't be. It's just impossible.
So you just say after one season? Like,
no, not after one season.
But that one season is not just a season. It's a championship.
All right. Never mind. It is what it is. You just stubborn.
Man, I'm not stubborn.
You almost worse.
I'm not caught up. Y'all
flip flopping more than Magic.
Y'all, I don't know what you
talk about.
FIFO, you gonna come to my side when you driving home, and you gonna be like, man, you know what?
Nah, man, I stand by what I say.
All right, Ken, what were your thoughts on the Magic situation, the Lakers situation? We didn't get to hear what you had to say about it.
I'd be glad. Bastard Holmes need to sit down somewhere. You know, how the hell you work on this shit for 2 years? And you just, all you did was say the shit that everybody already knew.
Nah, he went in depth. You got to read the,
article.
There was a lot of in-depth stuff. And you ain't bringing it up because you knew he was going to use it against you.
Here or there, but it was still surrounded by other shit that was already out. We knew Rob Pelinka wasn't shit. Magic told us. Now we didn't know
Magic ain't shit either.
We knew Magic
as an executive.
Nah, maybe not.
What you mean maybe not? He ain't do shit. He made the team worse. Every time he goes on TV, he makes the Lakers worse.
How are they worse?
He's airing dirty laundry. All out in the streets.
That's Master doing that.
In the season that leading up to the summer where he said, I'm bringing free agents.
And he got one. But Baxter told what Magic didn't. Magic said Rob Pelinka was the guy. That was already out there. That's not news. He just confirmed it. A lot of the other stuff that was out there, Magic just confirmed that other reporters that have inside knowledge knew about. What Baxter did was talk about the culture inside. And we also could have pulled from his altercation with Luke Walton that Magic was a little temperamental too. And a little bit of a bully. But I don't
a little
care.
Bit. He making people cry.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Grow up. Get some goddamn balls. Yeah, be fucking adults. This is PC culture. Get the fuck out of here. You got to go to fucking therapy and shit. Get the fuck out of here. Go join the Peace Corps or some shit like that. You know, it is what it is, man. I'm just waiting for it all to be over so they can get back to winning. But
the reason why I said I don't sleep on that one then.
Yeah, I mean they were terrible the 4 years before he got there, and then the last 2 years, I mean they did improve their winning percentage each year, their games, so they won more games each year. So that's not on Magic, man. That's Genie, man. That's all.
It's the whole thing. It's the whole shebang.
And Magic was like, "I'm out. Y'all can deal with this bullshit."
And he's the only one that could have done that. Nobody else can leave but him.
Rob can leave, but Rob likes his power.
He on ESPN right now, double-breasted, snitching on everybody.
I don't blame him. Because y'all not going to drag my name through the mud.
Nobody had to do it. They're just showing you what it was.
They were already
FIFO, man, come on. What are they saying that ain't true? He's trying to deflect all this blame off him because he's got a brand to protect.
He's just trying to control the narrative. That's all.
Exactly.
He's getting out ahead of it, but that's not a bad thing. That's what you're supposed to do.
I understand that, but when it comes to being critical of what you did, what you contributed to, you got a lot of shit to hold too.
He didn't deny any of it though.
Exactly.
Did he? I don't think he did.
He's deflect. I'm not saying he's not denying. I'm saying he's deflecting like he ain't do shit.
No.
He said Rob Pelinka back. What accountability has he taken part of? As far as I'm the one who drafted Lonzo.
I shouldn't have traded Brook Lopez. Some of the moves he made.
I shouldn't have drafted Lonzo. Did he say that?
He didn't need to say that.
Yeah,
that's something he need to say.
No, why? Just because you have a personal vendetta against the kid?
Well, vendetta. Would you have picked the Lonzo number two in that draft?
Yep.
Look, Lonzo is what it is. People make bad draft choices all the time.
Why are you sounding?
I'm not
so
making excuses because I you know how I feel about Lonzo too. So I wouldn't have made that pick. But Magic believes in the pick and he stood by the pick. And you know, it is what it is. He argues with Stephen A. Smith according to them all the time. And he hasn't backed down, even with the evidence that he got.
He's going
to
be snitching on Stephen A. soon, too. Stephen A. going to say, I just talked to him yesterday.
But nah, man, like, if that was me, I would have left, too. I mean, but again, he's not revealing anything really new. He's just confirming the reports. So because he's doing that, I mean, I don't blame him. Like, Rob is going to be a problem. This motherfucker lying about Kobe going to talk to Heath Ledger?
Yeah, that was a big thing.
Bro. That's not good. Jeannie got to get that shit under control, but she can't.
If she don't fire him, well, she probably can't because who else is there to run shit?
Yeah, well, I'm saying, like, if you're going to do it, you need to do it now.
This is a horrible time to
do
it.
This is a horrible time. And here's the thing, man. Look, the Lakers, I hate to say this, but the Lakers ain't going to be back right until the Buss family sells.
They never going to do that.
They said it's It's been rumbling.
Unless someone's offering them with like $5 billion.
Okay.
So I wasn't really thinking about it from as Magic. I was thinking about it more from the Lakers standpoint, because it really was all about. I mean, he was in there with some of his ways, obviously. Rob Pelinka, Jeannie. So it really was just what's going on with LA as a whole right now, but. And you know, it was a little frustrating to read because I'm like, all right, man, what else? Are y'all done? Can we get on to like them riding the ship and you know playing basketball and seeing what happens out of this? What else is there left? So I hope there's nothing else and we can move on. Cause them motherfuckers ain't even in the playoffs and they talking about the Lakers all the damn time. Shit's ridiculous. I'm sure y'all want to talk about the best player in the league.
And with that, catch us next week.
Petty as hell.
On Dead End Sports.
Can't stop.
Where sports opinions collide. And, yeah, we out this piece.
Yeah, we out. Later.